بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected listeners, welcome to the fiqh segment. We will pick off inshallah and we'll pick up from where we left off the last time, and that was with regard to the wajibat of salah. Now, we had discussed the wajibat of salah and mentioned the importance of the wajibat in that if a person has to leave it out, it can be rectified by means of a sajda sahwa, a prostration for correction. Obviously, unlike your faraid, your fard of salah, the fard and compulsory acts, which if left out will nullify the namaz immediately. However, the wajibat, the 14 wajibat, if any one of them is unintentionally left out, it can be corrected via sajda sahwa, the prostration for correction. Now, having discussed the faraid and the compulsory acts, as well as the wajibat and necessary acts of salah, we now will mention and go over the sunnah acts of salah. Now, there are 21 sunnahs in namaz. Now, when we say something is sunnah in namaz, what does it actually mean? Now, things which have been proven to be done in salah by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not so much stress has been laid upon them as is laid upon things which are fard and wajib, these are known as sunnah. So things which were done in the salah by Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but does not hold the status of fard and wajib, that is what is understood to be sunnah. Now, we have already discussed what is fard and what is wajib. So these acts over and above that was carried out by Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is not found with regard to the stress. There wasn't so much of stress laid upon it as the faraid and the wajibat. If any of these are missed out, that is the sunnah that we are discussing now, if any of these are missed out, then what happens? If these are missed unknowingly, neither does it invalidate the salah, nor does sajda sahwa become necessary. Now remember, we said that if a person has to leave out a fard act, it will nullify the salah. And if he leaves out this, a wajib act, then he needs to correct it by means of a sajda sahwa. But in the case of sunnah, if a sunnah act is left out, it does not invalidate the salah. If it is left out now, unknowingly, we're saying, it will not invalidate the namaz, nor does sajda sahwa become necessary. If these are left knowingly, if they left knowingly also, the namaz is valid and there is no need of sajda sahwa. However, if a person knowingly has left out the sunnah, then it is not a good thing. It is not the right thing to do, because Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown us a sunnah method of making wudu, a sunnah method of making ghusl, a sunnah method of reading salah. And as far as possible, our actions need to be in accordance with the actions of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For in every action of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is barakah, there is blessing, and there is great reward. And the more a person makes an effort to bring sunnah into his life, the more firm he will become on deen. If we have to take an example, we will say that a person, if he has a few pebbles, those pebbles can be thrown anywhere at any time. They can be taken away with the wind. Anything, they can be crushed, etc. But add to those pebbles, every small pebble now resembling one sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And keep on adding to those pebbles, keep on adding to that heap. That heap eventually becomes a bigger heap, and that eventually becomes a small little hill, and eventually becomes a mountain made up of small little stones. Now once that pebbles have become into a mountain, have formed into a hill or a mountain, how firm can you just move that mountain? Can you just move that hill? Can you just move that heap of stones that is there, that has gathered together? No, because now it has become more firm. So if we have to understand the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can understand it by means of these pebbles. That the more sunnah, the more pebbles a person has in his heap, the more sunnah a person has in his life, the more firm the dead person will be on deen. So as far as possible, my dear respected listeners, the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every facet of our lives need to become more prominent. Needs to become more prominent. We need to be, our lives and the way we live our lives need to be dictated to in the way that Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us. So the sunnah of salah is something that if it is left out unknowingly, there is no problem. If it is left out knowingly also, the namaz will be permissible. However, it is not the right thing to leave out a sunnah and to leave out these sunnahs of salah intentionally without any valid excuse. Okay, so what are the sunnahs in namaz? So there are 21 sunnahs. We will discuss inshallah 12 of them today. And the balance, inshallah, in the next week's program. So, to raise the hands up to the ears before saying takbirat tahrima. So, as we know, when we begin our salah, we raise our hands up to our ears. The saying of takbirat tahrima, saying Allahu Akbar, that we mentioned is fard. But the raising of the hands to the ears is sunnah. So, if a person begins his salah by saying Allahu Akbar and forgets to raise his hands, he will still be in salah. However, if he raises his hands without saying takbira tahrima, he will not be in salah because takbira tahrima is farad and the raising of the hands is sunnah. While raising the hands for takbir, keep the fingers of both hands raised and the palms facing Qibla. Now, this is an area where a lot of us make errors with regard to how we make our takbir and how we lift our hands. So the fingers of both hands must be raised. Sometimes our fingers are curled, etc. They are bent, they are turned. So this is not the right way. The right way is for the fingers to be absolutely raised, straight, and for the palms to be facing Qibla. So our palms must face Qibla. We do not have to touch the earlobes with our thumbs as many people do, but rather it must be in line with the ears and with the palms facing the Qibla. This is how takbirat tahrima should be made. This is the sunnah way. Not to bend the head when saying takbir. So when a person is making takbir, and this is also referring to the takbirat tahrima when he's beginning his salah, he must begin it in such a way that he does not, when he's saying the takbir and lifts his hands up to his head, he must not bow his head at that stage. So not bend the head when saying takbirat tahrima. Saying takbir tahrima and other takbirs allowed by the imam according to the need while going from one rukun to the other. So saying takbir tahrima and the other takbirs, that is going from now, from qiyam into ruku, from ruku, coming up into qawma, then going down into sajda, then coming up into jalsa, going back in sajda, coming up to aqidah, qaida, then in all is going from one posture to the next. To say the takbir at tahrima and other takbirs allowed, this is also sunnah. To fold the right hand over the left hand below the navel. To fold the right hand over the left hand below the navel. This according to Ahnaf, again we're saying the ladies, however, will be slightly different, but that will come to in a couple of weeks' time, inshallah. The actual way of the salah for a woman, because the method, now we are not discussing the method of salah for a man and the method of salah for a woman, or the postures rather, they differ slightly from men to women. So those subtle differences that are there in the salah, we will discuss that inshallah at a later stage. However, the folding of the right hand over the left hand and below the navel, this will be for the men, of course, this is sunnah. So when a person is tying his right hand over his left hand, he should form a circle with his thumb and little finger around the wrist of his left hand, with the other three fingers being placed on the front of the hand. The saying of thana. What is thana? When a person makes takbirat tahrima, Allahu Akbar. Now before he begins Surah Fatiha, he has to say the thana. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarakasmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. This is the takbir tahrima, or rather the thana. So the thana should be recited at the stage. Then the ta'awudh, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is also sunnah. This is the seventh one. Number eight, to recite the complete bismillah. That is to recite bismillahir rahmanir rahim, not just bismillah. So if we have to begin from the beginning of the salah, we will lift our hands up to the ears, Allahu Akbar. We will recite the thana, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then we will start with our Surah Fatiha. As was mentioned when we were talking about the wajibat, that the reciting of Surah Fatiha in the third and fourth rakats of farz namaz is sunnah. To recite Surah Fatiha in the third and fourth rakats of a fard namaz. We said that in every other namaz besides a fard namaz, it is wajib to recite Surah Fatiha and a surah. It is only wajib to recite Surah Fatiha and a surah in the first two rakats of fard namaz. In the third and fourth rakats of fard namaz, in a three rakat namaz like Maghrib for example, or in a four rakat namaz like your Zuhr, your Asr and your Isha, It is wajib to recite Surah Fatiha and a surah in the first two rakats, and it is sunnah to recite Surah Fatiha only in the third and fourth rakat. Meaning that if a person for some reason does not read Surah Fatiha in the third and fourth rakat of a fard namaz, his namaz will be completed. And if he reads Surah Fatiha, he will be following the sunnah. If he even adds a surah in the third and fourth rakat of a fard namaz after Surah Fatiha, that too will be fine. However, it is sunnah to just recite Surah Fatiha in the third and fourth rakats of a fard namaz. To say Ameen softly, that means after the imam or after we say read Surah Fatiha, then to say Ameen softly, not to recite Ameen loudly. That's according to Ahnaf. So the thana, the ta'awudh, the bismillah and the Ameen. That means your Subhanakallahumma, your A'udhu Billah, your Bismillah and your Ameen must all be read softly. This is also sunnah. To recite as much qira'ah as is sunnah for every namaz. This is now, we generally read the last few surahs of Amma, Para 30 or Juz 30. But the sunnah places to read is as follows. For Fajr, to read from Surah Al-Hujurat, that means to read one surah from Surah Al-Hujurat up to Surah Al-Inshiqaq in the 30th. Surah Al-Hujurat is in 26th juz of the Quran, Surah Inshiqaq in the 30th juz. So to recite a surah, so generally what they are trying to say, for Fajr Salah, to recite from the longer surahs of the Quran Karim. For Dhuhr, Asr and Isha, to recite from what we call Awsat-e-Mufassal. The first one was Tiwal-e-Mufassal. The second one is Awsat al-Mufassal, the slightly shorter surahs, that is from Surah al-Buruj up to Surah al-Qadr in the 30th juz. And then for Maghrib Salah, to recite from what we call Qisar al-Mufassal, the shortest surahs that we find in the Quran, and that is from Surah al-Bayyina up to Surah al-Nas, the end of the Quran al-Kareem. When we are reading from Qisar al-Mufassal, we should remember to recite two consecutive surahs or leave at least two surahs in between. So if a person is reading in Maghrib Salah and he reads Surah Al-Adiyat in the first rakat, then he should not leave out Surah Al-Qari'ah and read Surah Al-Takathur. That means don't leave out one surah only. Either read the very next surah or leave more than two surahs. Two surahs or more. So if you're reading Surah Al-Adiyat, then you can read Surah Al-Qari'ah in the next rakat, no problem. Or if you're not going to read Surah Al-Qari'ah, then you don't read Surah Al-Takathur either. So you either read the very next surah, or you read, or you leave out more than two surahs and you continue. So for example, if you're reading Surah Al-Adiyat, you leave out two surahs, you can read Surah Al-Asr, for example, or any other surah after that. So this brings us to the end of today's segment of the program. And alhamdulillah, we have now discussed the first half of the sunnats that are found in salah. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with the balance of the sunnah of salah before moving on to the method of salah. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts and may He make it a means of us becoming closer to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.